And today's daf is daf Chav Gimel. So we got to the very top. The Mishnah begins, HaMakdish and HaChatzav, a person's Makdish is property, V'hayisolav Ksubas Isha. And let's say his wife had a lien on the property, so the husband had property, he was married, and there's a lien. And then he's Makdish all of his property. So now the din is that which has a lien on it, it's not a Hekdish, that which has a Ksuba lien on it, doesn't fall to Hekdish. So Rabbi Elezer Omer, Kishigarshanu Yidur Hana. So let's say he decides to divorce her. So now he has to pay money to her. So he has to go collect from Hekdesh because Hekdesh has the property. So he has to take money away from Hekdesh in order to pay his wife back. He has to take a nether. He's never allowed to marry her ever again because there's a chashash. He may have done this to remarry her and to get that money back from her, which she had collected from Hekdesh. So again, if he gets Makdesh's property and then divorces her, he can never remarry her. That's the din according to Rabbi Eliezer. Right, he doesn't take the money, meaning if he doesn't pay from Hekdesh, he pays out of pocket. Right. So then the Mishnah says to Rabbi Yeshua, Omer Eino Tzach, you don't need to do this. We're not concerned that people are going to be playing games, trying to take money away from Hekdesh. When he divorced her, he sincerely divorced her, wasn't trying to play any games. Kayoti Badavar, in a similar way, the Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, Afa Arev, Leisha Beksubasa. So too, let's say a person, there's an Arev, a person's a co-signer, if the husband can't pay, he'll pay instead. Bahaya Baila Migarsha. And the husband divorces her. So now the Arev is going to pay the ksuba to the Isha, the Grusha. So now the concern is the husband might remarry her to get that money of the ksuba that the Arev had paid. So here as well, Yadi Renu Hana, he has to make another, he can never get Hana from her again. So then, in other words, he can't marry her. Shema Yasek Kenunya al Nechasim Shozev Yachzir Esa Isha. And the concern is that he might end up being Machzir, might end up. How much I owe you? Tell me afterwards. Okay. Then the Kununa might be playing games here, and therefore remarry her, try to get the money out of Hekdesh. So then the case of the cosigners. The Gemara now says, "B'mai kemifki, what's the machlokis? What's the nekudas machlokis between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer? B'mai kemifki, Rabbi Eliezer savar adam osa kenunya ala hekdesh, and Rabbi Yeshua savar ain adam osa kenunya ala hekdesh. The machlokis is, will person try to play these types of games with hekdesh to try to extract money from hekdesh? So one says there is a chashash, and Rabbi Yeshua thinks there is no such chashash. So then the Gemara says, really, is that the Nekudas HaMachlokes Ve'ela HaDamer Rav Huna? Shchivmira, a person who is on his deathbed, Shehikdish Kol Nechasev, he's Makdish all his property. Ve'amar Mani Laploni Biyadi, and he says that, so-and-so has a certain loan. I owe him 100 dinarim, I owe him a mana. Neman, he's believed, even though he's Makdish his property, he's believed that so-and-so owes him money, he owes money to someone else, so there's a lien, so that money wasn't Hekdesh, and it goes back to the Baal Chov. Why is he trusted? Because a chazaka ain adam osa kenunya al Hekdesh. No one plays these types of games. I mean, we're not concerned that he said Reuven's owed money, and then he's going to collect from Reuven the money to try to get it outside of Hekdesh. People don't play such games. So here it's clear that everyone holds such a din. Rav Huna says across the board, everyone says ain adam osa kenunya al Hekdesh. So lema. So we should say this statement of Rav Huna is really, in fact, it's lema katanai. It's really machlokas tanayim. Amr l'shmaisa, that the Mishnah here in Erchon is really machlokas tanayim. How come Rav Huna says this as everyone holds this way that ain adam osa kenunya, when in fact the Mishnah here says it's the machlokas in the tanayim itself? And where it says lo, not true. That's not the machlokas. Kan lo pligi. When it comes to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, they both agree that a person is not. By the case of Rav Huna, when a person's a shchimira, that person read again. I'm sorry. Lo. Kagan lo pligi el bari. Here in the case of the Mishnah, they argue because the guy's healthy, there's a bari, and therefore there's a machlokas whether a person's osa kununya al hekdesh or not osa kununya al hekdesh. That's the machlokas. Aval bishchimira, a person who's on his deathbed, divri akol ain adam osa kununya al hekdesh. Everybody agrees when the guy is dying, he certainly is not going to be playing any games. He's not trying to extract money from hekdesh. Why not? My timer. Ain't adam chotev, ain't lo. A person is not going to sin if he's not going to benefit. The only reason why people sin, because they have a yetzahara, they want to get hana from whether it's gazela, whether it's covered, whatever the issue is. The guy is dying, he's not going to see any benefit from this money from Hekdesh, so he's not going to be osa kununya, and therefore if he says that this guy's owed money, we entirely trust him. But when the guy's a bari, the guy's healthy, so then there's the machlokas, whether we're choshesh or not choshesh. Gemara Ikadami, another explanation of the Mishnah goes as follows. Bibari de Khuyamalo Pligi the Adam Ose Kununya Al Hekish. When the guy is healthy, everyone agrees that people do make play games and try to extract money from Hekish. That's a true, unfortunately, a true fact. Bahacha bi neder shahudar birabim kimiflagi. They're arguing about when a person makes a nether in front of the public, in front of the rabbim, does that nether take effect? Can you ever, it takes effect, could you undo such a nether? So Mar Savar Rabbi Yeshua holds yesh lahafara. A person could always undo it. So therefore, even though there's a chashash, the nether doesn't work. It won't be helpful. Just because he takes a nether of a rabbim, he could just go do a hafara as well. So therefore, you don't make the guy make a nether because it won't be everlasting. But Mar Savar Rabbi Eliezer says no. Ain lahafara. A person makes a nether in a rabbim, it's binding, and there's no way to undo it, and therefore it will be effective. That's why he says to make a nether. That's machlokas, whether, again, nether, nether birabim, whether a person can be made for a nether birabim.
Again, the whole thing is, we're cautious, he's doing the nether, he won't marry her again birabim, is that what it is?
Or? No, he's making the nether birabim in front of rabbim that he won't ever remarry her. Is that everlasting or not? Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you could do hafara. Just like any other nether I made on my own, I could do hafara. So too a nether b'rabim, I could also do hafara. So it's not effective.
So it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
Why should we have him make the nether?
Exactly.
If he won't make a difference.
He could always undo it. Right. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it is everlasting. A nether, but I make b'yachidus, that I could do hafara.
Right.
But nether I set in front of the tzibur, I can never undo it, so it will be effective, and therefore you should do it. Alternatively, the Gemara suggests ibayis ema the chuliyama nether shehuda berabim yesh lafar. No, everyone agrees if you made a nether in front of the tzibur, you can have an afar on it. V'hacha, what's the machlokas in the Mishnah then? B'nether shehudar al das rabim kimiflagim. There's a difference between hudar in front of rabim versus hudar on the das rabim with the consent of the rabim. And here, the machlokas is, if you said it al das rabim, trying to get everyone's consent to undo it or not undo it, that's a much more difficult task. And there is the machlokas, whether or not the hudar al das rabim, whether that can be undone or not.
I'm sorry. What's the difference between das rabim and
birabim is in front of people, but it's still my das. It's just they're seeing it. It's making a present. It's a little bit more serious when I say it in front of rabim. Al das rabim is that I need everyone's consent to undo. Everyone here, all
yeah,
das.
We're talking about the hafara, not the nether.
Well, both of them, because the hafara depends on the das, the nether as well. So a normal hafara, if I have my das yachid is to undo it, so then I can undo it as long as I have permission from the bezdin. If I want to do al-das rabim, so I'm making the nether, when everyone here agrees to the nether, but that means al-far has to also, everyone has to agree to undo it. And
why would people have to agree to your nether?
That's the nether I made. I made such a tanai.
That it's only chal if everybody agrees to my nether.
I mean, in terms of the agreement.
Yeah, like, I don't understand the concept.
It's just...
Is there anyone here who objects to this matter?
Right.
Let him speak now or forever.
No, but the guy is doing his nether on himself. Like, what would anybody have anything to say about the nether?
They don't, and therefore it's chal. And therefore it's chal, because no one is objecting
how far
to it.
I understand, because once you're made, right. you're involved in the
rabbi. No, I'm saying, but once the nether is made such a way, so no one really cares, but that's how he made it, and we force him to make such a nether. This way he can never undo it either, because it's impossible... To do afara, everyone has to agree to the afara. And it's impossible to get everyone's agreement. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer thinks you can't undo it. Rabbi Yeshua thinks it is possible to even be mefer a nether al das rabim. So then the Gemara asks, Ve'ela ha'damer ameimar nether shehuda b'rabim yesh l'afara. So it does have al das rabim ein l'afara. So that's a statement Amemar says, which seems like it's categorically everyone agrees to this. So why does he say this statement? Lema kitanai amr l'shmaisa. His statement should really be dependent on this machlokas tanaim here in the Mishnah Erechim. And v'su, moreover, if that's really the machlokas about hanedar huder adas rabim, Rabbi Shua omer eino tzarech, that's what the Mishnah says, it really should say eino moil mibayla. It should say it's ineffective. That should have been the more appropriate language. So back to square one, what is the machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer here in the Mishnah and Daf Chav Gimel? So Elahacha b'sheila dehektesh kamiflagi. They're arguing about whether a person's able to have a sheila on that which you make hektesh. So when a person makes something hektesh, there's a discussion, could you be shoal on that? Like if I make a nether, so I could have a sheila, I could do hafar on that, I could undo that nether. Could that work on hektesh as well? So that's the machlokas, which means what? So the idea is, it's just a continuation of the Gemara now, this will all come clear now. The Hatani, the Brisa says, to support this, Hamakdish nechasev ayisal love ksubas isha, person makdish's property and there's an outstanding lien to a wife, a ksuba for the wife. Rabbi Eliezer omer kishu megarsha yidur hana. Rabbi Yishu omer eino tzarech. And that's the machlokas like in the Mishnah. The omer Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, hein de Rabbi Shammai, hein de Rabbi Hillel. This machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer is exactly the same machlokas as Beis Hillel Beis Shammai with regards to which halacha. The Mishnah appears in Maseches Nazir, she Beis Shammai omer hekdesh, taos hekdesh. A person makes a hekdesh, but there is some mistake involved, so then it's still going to be chal. The hekdesh is still chal. Ubeishahila omer hekdesh taos ainu hekdesh. A person made a mistake when making a davar. They made a mistake when making something hekdesh. So that's the example is a guy says a black shore that comes out of my house should be hekdesh, and it turns out to be a white shore. So Beishahila says it still works even though it's hekdesh, but taos it works. And Beishahila says no, it doesn't work. It has to be exact. So that's the machlokas in the Mishnah. So just like there's machlokas, whether hekdesh betalos is hekdesh or ainu hekdesh, so too with regards to she'ela, could you undo something or not? Since Beis Shammai holds hekdesh becomes hekdesh, even with mistakes, he also holds you can't undo a hekdesh, it becomes...
Right, so the whole idea is that since he can undo the hekdesh, there's no reason for him to die on his wife.
Exactly, because he can simply just undo it, pull it away.
It's like amigo.
Exactly. Not like amigo, but still there's a. I guess like something like amigo. Amigo is usually used for the svara.
Give me that I did it in real because if not, I could just make.
Exactly. He has another exit strategy right. To use, and therefore it won't be necessary to make the nether.
Right.
Okay, the Gemara now says, quotes from the Mishnah, V'chein Haya Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, that he said with regards to the Arev, the co-signer, the person got divorced and he had the Arev pay off the wife. Now he's concerned he's going to remarry the wife and get the money and extract money from the co-signer initially. So what's going on here? So Gemara first quotes a Maisa Moshe Bar Atzri, this is his name, Arva de Kalsa, he was the co-signer for his daughter-in-law, which means if his son didn't pay the ksuba, he's guaranteeing to pay the ksuba to the daughter-in-law if they get divorced or she dies. Sahava, he arva de kalse have. Rav Huna was the son. Rav Huna was unmarried to this girl. So Rav Huna's father was Moshe bar Atzi. Rav Huna Bray, Turba Mirabar and Havu, who's an incredible Talmud Chacham, and Dechikale Milsen, he was very poor, like many Talmud Chachamim were. Amar Abaye, Leka dinasve eitza. Abai says, is there no one to give him advice? The Rav Huna de legarish ledveso advise him to divorce his wife. V'tizba kusubasa miavu. Will let her claim the money from her now ex-father-in-law, from Moshe bar Atzi, a wealthy man, let's say. Will hajri mihajri, and then let Rav Huna remarry the wife, and now he has the money he just extracted from his own father. So that's the eitza that Rav is suggesting. Abai is suggesting. He's wondering why no one told him to do this. So obviously there are many questions we have here. So Amar Le Rava, Rava says, V'ha'anan yidur ha'natanan. Doesn't our Mishnah tell us that if you do such a thing, you have to make a nether that you'll never remarry her? So Abaye, Atu kolde megarish, Ubeidina megarish, he does another Eitzah. Who says you have to get divorced in Beis Din? If you go to Beis Din, you're right, Beis Din will enforce a nether. But don't get divorced in Beis Din. If you don't get divorced in Beis Din, no one's going to force you to take a nether, and you can still remarry her. So Abaye had all the answers. Lasov, after suggesting what Rav Huna perhaps should do, Iglai Milsa became clear that the Kohen Hava, that Rav Huna was a Kohen, which means he cannot remarry his wife if he were to divorce her. So Amar Bai said, oh, okay, if that's the case, Basar Anya Azla Aniyusa. When the person's poor, he gets more poor and more poor. He's poor, and even the good eights that I have for him, he's even poor from those options, so he's going to just remain poor. Fine, so that was a mice.
Let me ask you a question. If he is divorces not in front of Beis Din, he still has to be she has to still be Tovea, her father-in-law, in front of Beis Din, and they can say, listen, you know what, you want to pay, you want your father-in-law to pay, he's going to you have to pay.
It seems that they only made you take the nether b'shas gerushin.
At that moment.
And if he didn't, they can't make it anymore. Because right now there's an obligation.
Okay. But yeah. Beis Din could say, listen, you want to collect, then promise and have your house
in promise. In theory, no, but he doesn't have to do anything. He's nothing holding him up anymore. Meaning, if he wants to get divorced, so Beis Din has to oversee it. Beis Din will only oversee your divorce if you didn't take another. But now he's already divorced in this case. So now he has nothing to force him to take another.
And the father-in-law just has to pay because she has to collect the suit.
Right? I gave you the divorce. So you have nothing holding over my head anymore to force me to make another. I'm not willing to make another.
Right.
So therefore, it probably wouldn't work. So the Gemara says, "Does Abai really allow you to make these suggestions to try to divorce her, take money from the father-in-law, remarry her?" Doesn't Abai himself, isn't he the one behind the famous statement in Gemara and Sota as well? Ezu Rasha Aram, who's called a naked Rasha, or really just a really terrible or tricky Rasha? Zeha Masi Eta Limchor Benachasim, a person who advises someone to sell his property, Kiryab and Shimon Gamliel, like him, who is what? That if you have a Shchivmira, who says the following message, I want to give the property to Reuven, and after Reuven dies, I want to go to Shimon. Not siblings, just whoever, just different people. He's a friend of his, Reuven and then Shimon. So don't tell Reuven, listen, you may as well sell all your property now, and then this way Shimon won't be allowed to get any property. Use it up for yourself, and then you have the cash, and then Shimon will get nothing. No one should give such an etzah to Reuven, because Shimon's left with nothing afterwards. Such a person who gives such advice is called a Rosh Arim. So how could Abai himself here suggest that he should divorce his wife to collect money from the father to get remarried to her? That's what's called a Rosh Arim. The Gemara says, no, Bray Shiny, a person's own child is different. If the whole kavan is to get money from his own father, so that's allowed. If some other guy who's not related to, so that's an Arum Russia. But from your own father, that's allowed. And moreover, a Tzurba Mirabban and Shiny, if a person's in Talmud Chacham and needs the money to learn, that's also a mitzvah to give him such etzes. So, okay, there's also, of course, terrible Chil Hashem that could be generated from this. I don't think this is something we practice nowadays, I would advise. Let's just try to go be yashrus and avoid any questions. Okay, Gemara says, last line here, Tepik Lei, Da'ariv Ksuba Lok Mishabed. The whole issue becomes that even without the whole question of Rava and the whole discussion above, so the Ariv doesn't have to pay. Why does an Arif have to pay in the first place? So let's go through, the sugya is going to explain all this. The Arif explains Kablan Havi, he's a Kablan. So there's a difference between an Arif and a Kablan. Arif is a person who's a co-signer, the Lova has to pay the money, and the Lova doesn't have the money, then Arif steps up. A Kablan is a person who says, I'm willing to pay for the money, I'm stepping up. Exactly, go straight to the Kablan. So this case here, he was a case of a Kablan. The father-in-law was a Kablan. Come straight to the father-in-law. It wasn't first the Lova and then the Arav. This straight to the Kablan. So Gemara says, Hanich, this all makes sense. Leman damar Kablan, that person's willing to be a Kablan, afagav, the less they nechasim the Lova, mishabit. You know, oftentimes, rarely will you have a guy who's a Kablan and say, you know, if Reuven's getting married, Reuven has no money. So Shimon's not going to say, I'll be a Kablan to pay for Reuven. No, Reuven won't pay money. Unlike, usually a Kablan is a nice guy. No, Reuven has his own money. I'll be the Kablan if you really need. That's most cases. So this only makes sense if you're saying that a Kablan's willing to be a Kablan and it works, even though the initial person has no money. Because Ruvhuna, the assumption is Ruvhuna has no money. He's a Tzurban Mirabanan, he's a Tamil Chacham, he's got no parnas, he's got nothing. So it only makes sense if the Kablan's able to be a Kablan, even when the person who owes money, a Lova, has no money himself. Elman Damer Islay Mishabed, Leslay Lo Mishabed. But the Man Damer that says the only time a guy is a Kablan is only if the Lova himself has what to pay with, and initially Nechasim. But if the Lova initially, in this case Rav Huna, the Chasim, does have any money initially, so Kablan does not become a Kablan. He's not Mishtabi, he's not required to pay. So Ma'ik Lameimer, how are you going to explain the case here of Rav Huna and his father? Ibai Seima, either you're going to say Rav Huna Havale, he had money. When Rav Huna initially got married, he actually had property, Vishtaduf, and it got ruined somewhere along the way. So since initially Bishas, Kiddushin and Nisuin, and there was money, so the Kablan, his father, was the Kablan. And Ibai same alternatively, Abba Lagabe Brei, Shibud de Meshabit Nafshe. In general, you're right, a Kablan's not willing to be a Kablan if the Lova himself has no money initially. But a father is willing to be a Kablan for a son, even if the son has no money, Bishas Nisuin.
What's the svara behind the point that if somebody doesn't have money, the kablan is not chal?
The kablan doesn't want to be mishabed himself in a situation. You know, you're going to think you're being a nice guy to help out your friend, but your friend has money. Yeah, he'll pay.
He just wants, the other guy wants just a warranty.
Exactly. Exactly. You don't think that your friend's going to go, you know, run off
from where? If the other guy has nothing, then even if you say yes, it's
exactly. Because
if you would have known, you would have never.
Exactly. Right. You were mishabed yourself. So then the Gemara says, the Itamar, it was stated, Arev de Ksuba, Divriakol, Lomishtabed. A person in Arev or nuksuba. A person's never, the guarantor is not mishabe nuksuba. And the reason is because if you look at Rashi, the top line, or narrow line, first narrow line down, Rashi explains two things. Why is an arev nuksuba divrei kol lo mishabe? The guarantor doesn't, he can't co-sign nuksuba. The mitzvah kavod lezavgam, his intent is not really to put his money up. His intent is just to make sure they get married. It's a funny thing, but his intent is for marriage, not really to mishabit himself. And secondly, the woman didn't really lose anything because she didn't give any money in the first place, right? She didn't pay. When they get divorced, she gets paid, let's say, $200. Now, she's getting those $200, but she never lent $200 originally. Right. She just gave him. That's part of the deal, how it works out. So the Kavan's not really so interested in helping out the case because no one gave money in the first place. So these are two reasons that the Ariv, even though he writes himself as an Ariv, it doesn't really work on a Ksuba. And also, everyone agrees, a Kablan de Baal Chov de Berkol Meshabit. A person who says he's going to be a Kablan, that works for a Chov. Number one is because he's a Kablan as opposed to an Arev. Kablan, he's much more serious in terms of what he's standing up to help out. And secondly, since the Malva is losing out money, he doesn't get paid, he wants to help out the Malva who did a Tova, he's willing to Meshabit himself as a Kablan to pay money. So these are two extremes. Arev, which is a low-level guarantor, doesn't work for Ksuba, and a Kablan, a high level, does work for a Baal Chov. But what about in between? What about an Arev on a Baal Chov and a Kablan on a Ksuba? So the Gemara says, Arev de Baal Chov, the Kablan de Ksuba, pligi, that's the Machlokis here. One who holds Islay Nichse Lalova. If initially the Lova had money to pay Mishtabed, then the Arev would be Mishtabed himself as a backup just in case. But less like if the Lova initially didn't have money, Lo Mishtabed, Arev will not be a backup for Baal Chov. And Ika Laman Damer, one who says, Ah, for Gav, do less lay Mishtabed. Some hold that Arev is willing to be an Arev even if the Lova has no money, I'm still willing to be his guarantor. Either I love him or I trust he'll make money, and that will be effective as well. That's the machlokas. Again, will an Arev be willing to be an Arev even if the Lova has no money? Bishas halva. So what's the bottom line here? Hilchasa, the Gemara says, Bechul, in all the cases, all the different types of guarantors, Avagav do lesley, even though the Lova has no money in the Shas Bashas halva, Nami Mishabit, a person in Arev and certainly a Kablan are willing to guarantee. Labar, except with for an Arev de Ksuba. An Arev and a Ksuba, there an Arev doesn't work. A guarantor doesn't work in a Ksuba. The Afagav to Islay, even if the Lova does have Lo Mishabit, a person doesn't work as an Arev and a Ksuba. My time, what's the reason? Mitzvah Kavid, his Kavana is not really to Mishabit himself, rather just to make sure that the marriage goes through. He's trying to push it through. If Lo Midi Chasr, if she doesn't get paid, she doesn't really lose anything because she never lent money in the first place. So this is interesting. I don't know if they ever do an Arev or guarantors on a Ksuba or not. I'm not sure. Because oftentimes the chassan can't really pay, and at the time he has no money to pay.
Such little money. How much?
Yeah, but sometimes they add. I've been to places where they add things. I was one someplace where they added a lot. I don't really see it, but one person.
How much is the value? Right?
Yeah, I'm not sure the value is. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we assume it's a lot.
Yeah, I was at a wedding, actually, Sunday night, but I was once at, years ago, Rabbi Kelmer was a Masada Kedushin, and in the Ksuba, he added a lot more money that was originally listed there. It was funny, and the Chassan said, that's not a problem, my father-in-law is, he's got plenty of money. So he says, well, you know, your father-in-law's standing right behind you right now. So at the wedding Sunday night, at Kelmer was a Masada Kedushin, and he made this announcement, he says, now that you've assigned all your fortune to your wife, now hand her the Ksuba. So it must be Rabbi Kelmer probably wrote in that as well, that more than just what's written there. So either way, so I wonder, as a guarantor, if you want to have an Arev and a Ksuba, it can't be an Arev, it has to be a Kablan, according to this
right.
Gemara here.
But here it would seem that even a Kablan, even if the guy didn't have anything, it's also. Like an Arev, even if he has, it doesn't mean anything, and a Kablan, even if he doesn't have, it's...
Correct. Free. But for a Ksuba, if he does have, Arev doesn't work.
No.
You need a Kablan.
Even if he doesn't have,
correct.
It works.
Right, so I'm saying, for a Ksuba, if you need a guarantor and a Ksuba, it has to be a Kablan, and it can't be an Arev. So okay. Tanaim is not the Ksuba. Tanaim is something different. That's just obligations of just helping support the kids, but not about the Ksuba.
Right.
Tanaim are different.
But
we're talking about right now for Ksuba, Dafka Ksuba, you need a Kablan apparently for it to be a good guarantor. Gemara then says, Hahu Gavra de Zavnina Linichse, a person who sold his property, all of his property. Kagarsha Ludvesa, he now divorced his wife. So now she has to get paid money. So she had a lien, a prior lien to the sale. So Shalcha Rav Yosef Brei the Rav Lakami the Rav Papa. They sent a message to find out what to do. Arif Tanan Hekdish Tanan. Our Mishnah says the only time. So if he sells now, he's going to divorce her. Is he and she's going to have to collect money from the Lukuchos? Does he have to take a neder that he'll never remarry her again? Maybe he's trying to think of some idea to con the Lukuchos for money. So the Mishnah says Arif Tanan Hekdish Tanan. Only these cases. But Lokeach Ma. What's the din from the person who bought it? Is the same din? Does he have to make such a neder? So Amalei Tana ki rochla nechshev neizer. Rochla is like a rochel, like a peddler who goes around from place to place. So the Mishnah lists the Mishnah Hekdesh lists Arev, and also means a lokech as well. All the examples of a person getting rid of his property, whatever the mechanism is, he has to take a neder. So here as well, he would have to take a neder that he'll never remarry her again. So in Nahardai, they said Amri Tanan Tanan Lotanan Lotan. That which is listed is listed, namely Arev and Hekdesh. Only in those cases where he has no property left does he make a nether. But if he sold off his property, since that's not listed in the Mishnah, he does not have to take a nether. So Amar of Misharsha, my time at Dinah Hardah. What's the reason? Now, granted, the text only lists those two cases. But what's the svara that Lokeach case, he doesn't have to take a nether? Barabim, Bishma Hekdesh, I understand Hekdesh, Mishim Revech to Hekdesh. Because we don't want Hekdesh to lose. So therefore, we make him take a nether. And Arev Nami Mitzvah Hudavid Vlami De Chisrei. The Arev's he was trying to do mitzvahs and he's doing wonderful things, so we don't want him to lose that either. But when it comes to El Lokeach, so the guy who bought property from the husband, he bought the guy's entire property, all his assets. The guy who bought Michte Midi Yad, he knows the Chol Chavachad Ika Leksuba. He knows the guy's married, which means the wife has a lien on the property if they ever were to get divorced. He knows this. My niz of a nizbein. So why did he go and buy all the property, not leave anything behind for the wife? So Eihu Dafsa and Afsha, he lost on his own the fact that he bought this and not having any seichel. He should have done the search?
The title search.
He should have done the title search to realize what type of liens exist on the property. It's his own fault. Mishnah now says, HaMakdish Nechasev, a person who's makdish all of his properties, V'hayisa Allah V'ksubas Isha, and among the properties was a lien for the Ksubas Isha, and Balchova, or the Balchova bank has a lien on the property, Ein HaIsha Yecholas Ligbos Ksubasa Min HaHekdish, which means she can't collect from the Hekdish without a pidyon. You first have to redeem it with a pidyon. Even though the halacha is, you can't be makdish a property that's not yours. So if I try to be makdish a property that the bank has a lien on, that Hekdish doesn't work at all. Because they have a lien, they have already a stronghold on it. But even though the Hekdish doesn't work, the Gemara is going to explain, they required me to pay a pidyon nonetheless, lest people think I can makdish things and take it away without having a pidyon. So they make you make this artificial pidyon just so people in general, when there's a real Hekdish, so that people make a pidyon as well in those cases.
And who pays that? The Baal pays.
I believe the Baal pays. I think so.
She gets a full amount.
She shouldn't lose out because the husband's... So then the Gemara said, the Mishnah continues to say, Poda Amnas Litain Leisha Beksubasa, and Ulbalcho Veschovo. So he has to redeem it, whatever small amount of money is, a pruta or something small, in order to pay out to the Isha or to the collector. And let's say, Gemara gives an example now, Hekdesh Tishim Mana, let's say he's Maktish's property worth 90 Mana. Now he really owes 100 mana, so the 90 mana is not going to cover his entire cost, but it's going to cover 90% of what he owes. Mosif Odinar, so he has to add another dinar, one more dinar. Now the Tosis points out here that you have to add a who's paying the dinar? The guy has no money anymore to pay. He has to pay an extra dinar to redeem the Hekdesh. So now the Lova has no money to pay anymore. So the Malva gives the guy like an extra dollar here to the Lova. The Lova now redeems the Hekdesh with the dollar he was just given. And he pays the 90 mana to the bank. And he has 10 outstanding mana to work with. So then Podes and Echasim Ha'ela, Amnas Litein Le'isha Ksubasa Le'Balchov Eschova. So he has to redeem this property in order to pay out the Isha or to pay out the Balchov. The Gemara is going to address why the Mishnah gave an example where he owes 100, but the property is only worth 90. So we're going to see, let's say property was only worth 20, he owes 100, but it's only worth 20, that case it may not have a lien. The guy doesn't have a lien on that property. Because like, when you like, have a bank, the bank's owed $1 million, he's going to take a lien on your house. He's not going to take a lien on a small little piece of property here that's worth $5, it's worthless to him. He only takes a lien on a property that's going to cover at least 50% of the owed debt. So we'll see that in the Gemara in just a moment. So Gemara now says, Lam li lemeimar ha-po de po de. Why do we say the one who redeems, he has to redeem? Mishum de Rabbi Abou, Dama Rabbi Abou, Shelo Yomru, Hekdesh Yotze Blei Pidyum. We don't want people to think, oh, you can Makdesh one day and then take it away from Hekdesh the other day without a Pidyum. That's not true. So even though in this particular instance the Hekdesh isn't Chal, because the Ksuba's Ish had a lien, or the Ba'achov had a lien, the Hekdesh wasn't really Chal, but still we have to treat it as if it was Chal, and just to give a little pruta to undo the Hekdesh, so people in general know whenever you remove something from Hekdesh, you must make a Pidyum first. The Gemara then comments that Masnisan, our Mishnah, is Delo Ki Rabban Shimon Gamliel. It's not like him. Why? The sign of the Brisa teaches us that Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ema Yachovah Kenegan Hekdesho. If, let's say, the Chov it works the Hekdesh, meaning I was owed $100 and I made a Hekdesh of a property that's worth $100, so then I need to redeem the property to give it back to the Baal Chov. Ema Lav, however, let's say the Chov is more than a Makdesh. So I owe $100, I'm makdish something that's worth only $90, there ain't no podet. The only time you have to redeem it to pay back the Baal Chov is if it's exactly equal to what I owe. But if there's a difference, or it's actually less than what I owe, then the bank has no lien on that property if it's less than what I owe them. Rabbanan say no, ad kama, not true. The bank has liens on even property that's less than what they owe. So if I owe the bank $1 million, they're going to have a lien on my $500,000 property, even though it's not going to cover the amount fully, it's going to be significant. Ad kama, how much less than the owed money do we say that which is hekdesh goes to the bank? So he says, Amar Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes, ad paga half. So if, let's say, I owe $1 million to the bank, and I makdish a property worth $100,000 only, there the bank can't collect it because it's not really worth their time. They didn't have a lien on it. Only that which is 50% or more of what I owe them will they have a lien on. And if I'm makdish those types of properties, hekdesh isn't chal, I need to just pay a pruta to undo the fake hekdesh and pay the money, the property, to the bank. Okay. Mission now continues. A lot of things I'm on today. Today's daf.
This is very questionable.
In terms of?
In terms of svara. I mean, you know, because I thought that the lien goes basically on what you have, independently of the
bank. Oh, yeah? Apparently not here.
Not.
Yeah,
okay, so
I don't know how it works in American law.
So this is only hekdesh, or it's also on any Baal
Chov? I think it's in both cases, I believe, Baal Chov and hekdesh. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how American law works, but I wouldn't be surprised if this would be consistent with that or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying as a mortgage, yeah, but I don't know.
So, I see. It makes a yes or no.
Because I think it's the only place we heard in Shas that there is something like this. I mean,
right.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But I don't think it's so far-fetched, though. But yeah, at the same time, I could also hear where you're coming from, that the bank wants to get paid, so they want to take a lien on everything.
Anything you own, right. If you owned it, and when you took the loan, it's irrelevant whether you have one or a million.
Right. But. Yeah, I'm not sure if they try to... So then the Mishnah says a new din, the Alpha Pisha Amru Chayave Erechin Mimashigin also, even though there's a din that a person owes Erechin, he says, Erech Yalai, I owe whatever, 50 shkom, whatever the amount he owes, Mimashigin also, which means that Bezdin, the Gizbar, is allowed to enter into the guy's home and take property to pay the Erechin if he's not paying it. So even though that's the case, no sin lo, Mazon Shloshin Yom, we don't take all his property, we leave food for the next 30 days. Ksus, we shnei masar chodesh, enough clothing for him to wear for 12 months. And mita mutzas v'sandala v'tfilov, we leave his bed and his sheets and blanket and pillow. And we leave his shoes, we leave his tefillin. We don't take everything from him. We leave the bare minimum for him to live, that much we leave for him. And then, but lo, this is only for himself, for what he himself needs. Aval lo l'isha levanov. But this is interesting din now, we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow's daf, but for his wife and kids, we take everything away from them. So the guy himself who did the terrible Erechin move, now he's putting his family at risk. So he himself gets to live, but the wife and children don't. We take all their food, all their clothing, all their shoes, that we confiscate. But again, we'll wait for tomorrow's daf to explain what's going on here. So then the Mishnah says, Imhaya umalete, he's a worker, he's got a business, he has a trade. So we can't take his business away, we need him, we want him to do well, we want him to be successful, we also want him to pay the money back. So in that case, no sin lo shnei klei umanos, mikol min v'min, each of his instruments, each of his tools, we leave two types. So let's say he needs a hammer, we leave him two hammers, he needs a saw, we leave him two saws, whatever he needs, we leave two of everything. And for example, Charash, let's say he's a carpenter, no sin lo shnei ma'atadim, we give him two of the sanders for the wood, shnei megeris, I think they're two saws. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im haya ikar, if he's a farmer, nosin lo tzimdo, we give him the yoke that you to plowing with, and in chamor, if he's a donkey rider and carrying donkeys, oh nosin lo chamoro, we give him a donkey to carry, schlep the things back and forth. So these are the different examples of what we leave him when we confiscate property to pay back the erechim. Hayelo min echem rubaleta, he has one set of tools that he's a lot of. He's got 25 hammers, let's say. Uminechad mu'an, he's got one where he only has one saw. So we say, ain omrim, we don't say, limkor esam ruba v'likach minamu'at. So we don't say that he's got 25 hammers, he only needs two. Let's sell 23 hammers, and with that extra money, to buy a second saw. He only has one saw now. Remember, we said, leave him two of every tool. So he only has one of the saws. So let's sell the extra of the other type and to buy two. He says, no. Ella nosin lo shnei minim. Rather, we leave him two minimum. We take away, his 25 hammers. We take away 23 hammers. So he's left with two hammers. And kol sheyesh lo mamua. And what if he has of the other one? If he has only one saw, we don't try to replenish it. If he has only one, that's all he gets is one. We're not buying him new tools. And therefore, that's when that didn't work. And the Mishnah concludes saying, Hamakdish nechaz, the person who's Hamakdish all his property, malin lo tfilav, that we end up. We have to get him tefillin, of course. So we evaluate the tefillin. We have to borrow money if he has to borrow money in order to redeem the tefillin so that he could wear the tefillin as well. Okay, so we'll stop here.
He has tefillin?
No, he lost his tefillin because it went.